Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Canadian Podcow. It's our last for 2025, our annual holiday episode, and as per tradition, my co-host Sarah Sash is bringing the holiday spirit into the podcast. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, I see you're getting with me with the fit today.
I am getting with me. But first, I want to talk about the weather a little bit, because as you can see, the sun is beaming in here as here in Ontario, as it's a little bit longer of a day. We have passed the shortest day, but our weather has been a lot nicer than it's been in BC. And I've seen, you know, we've all seen all the news of what's happening in the Fraser Valley. How are things in BC, Sarah?
Yeah, we're a little bit off schedule with the pod because things have just been a little bit chaotic here. We had another flood event in the Fraser Valley down in the Sumas Flats, which is where it flooded some probably 4 years ago really badly. It was not as bad this time in terms of milking cows didn't move mostly for the most part this time, things like that. But it certainly was a traumatic event for the producers in those areas, and they're working to recover still. So it's been a little bit of an awfully wet Christmas in BC, and we'll have some work to do going forward. It's still raining, but it's not raining so much that the water is not receding. So thank you for thinking of us.
Oh yeah, no, it's one of those. I'm glad to hear that the water is receding, and I know, you know, all of the rest of us producers across the country are certainly you know, thinking of you guys and thinking, you know, kind of alongside, you know, the things that I have you know, read and heard, is that maybe action can be taken.
You know, one can only
solve this problem. So, but as I say, you know, here in Ontario, we actually, it's cold. I've pushed snow. It's winter here in Ontario, which is, you know, something that pushing snow for me isn't my favorite job. So that's why I usually do it in my Grinch. Oh, I shouldn't have done this with my headphones.
Oh, you should have, because honestly,
this is what I look like when I push snow. Talk about, like, I have never worn a Christmas sweater, Sarah.
You definitely
sweater.
Do. I think you outperform me this year because I'm going sustainable with, I think this was from, I was looking back at my Facebook memories. It's a number of years now that I've sported this number, but still, keeping it fresh, you know.
Well, you know,
I think next year we're going to try to have podcast ones. I did use ChatGPT. I made some cool versions, you know, with the hat, whatever. And then time got away from me. Weather changed. Things are chaos. So, you know, sustainability.
It does look good. And I also, I think the thing is, we really do need to plan this slightly further ahead than the week of. Because I also was thinking, like, I really shouldn't have a cow matching one. Those do not ship quick enough with you if you start to make a plan a day before we record.
We've learned a lot of things about our preparedness, and it is not very good. So,
but I think one of the things that we can prepare for is cow comfort, Sarah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. Tell me more.
It is one of those that's actually the topic of our episode today, is we are going to chat a little bit about just what cow signals is, and just to try to be a little more prepared for what it takes to make cows comfortable and give them the things they need.
Yes, we're going to delve into the heart of it, actually. Cow signals is a method recognized worldwide to better understand the real needs of cows through the observation of their behavior and their environment. And that is coming up right now on the Canadian Podcast.
Our guest today comes from Plantagenet, Ontario. She completed a bachelor degree in animal science and a master's degree in dairy cattle nutrition from the University of Guelph. She joined Purina in 2007 and today is the director of nutrition and dairy technical services for North America for Purina Cargill. She has been a Cow Signals master trainer since 2009. Emily Mayville, welcome to Canadian PodCow.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thanks for joining us. First of all, Emily, tell us about you. Are you originally from Plantagenet? What led you to work in the dairy industry? And did you grow up on a farm or what's the deal?
So I did grow up on a farm. So my parents and my grandparents had quota and dairy cows. And then my mom started a business, side business of raising custom dairy heifers for other dairy producers. They also had a herd of 100 cow-calf limousine purebred. So basically, born and raised in the back of the barn, in a, you know, playpen, typical baby while they feed and milk the cows.
Oh, that does sound fun. And then I do want to kind of fast forward a lot because we want to really get to cow signals quickly in this episode, because that's what we brought you for, is you're the trainer. You've got lots of experience over the last 16 years, if you want me to say it out loud. And it's one of those things that a lot of producers probably aren't necessarily familiar with what cow signals is. Can you give us a little bit of an idea of what the method of cow signals is, and where did it originally come from?
For sure. So it started in the Netherlands, and the people are Joep Driessen and Jan Holsen that actually, you know, launched this program. From there, Joep took it back and really made it his own. So I think he's the sole owner today. It's all about observing the behaviors of the cows, taking measurements in the barns, and actually overall evaluating the comfort of the cows. That's pretty much what the principles of cow signals are.
What are the main principles beyond that, and how does it change the way that we view cows when we're walking about in the barn?
Yeah, so there are six freedoms of the cow, which are water, air, light, rest, space, and of course, my favorite, feed, as I'm a nutritionist. And the whole goal is to take all those freedoms for the best health of the cow and the best ROI, so probably resulting in production for the dairy producer.
Now, it's one that actually, and I tried to look back to see when I did the cow signals. We did it on our farm, but it was several years ago now. But it is one of those things that when you talk about those six basic needs, you know, I always found it fascinating just in terms of how when you do look through the program, you're really looking through what the cow sees, how she reacts, all of those. Can you maybe break down out of those six in a little more detail what you really are trying to achieve with each one?
Yes, I'll give you a few examples because that's probably the best way to break down some of these freedoms. So if we talk about rest, right, a cow will lay down for a minimum of 9 hours. That's just a basic need. She usually will lay down up to 14 hours. So that's 5 hours in between. And for each hour extra past the 9 hours that she's laying down, she will make 1 liter extra of milk. So that's a huge ROI for the producer. So if we know that that stall is comfortable and the cow will lay closer to 14 hours than 9 hours, if she was a 30-liter cow with a base minimum because the stalls are not comfortable at 9 hours, she all of a sudden makes 5 more liters if those stalls become super comfortable and she lays, and she's now a 35-liter cow for 14 hours. So those are the types of behaviors that we can evaluate in the barn. Of course, we're not in the barn for 24 hours when we do a cow signals evaluation, but we can see those through hunting cameras. We can install different devices in the barns as well to evaluate that. So that was an easy one. Another behavior would be standing cows, perching cows, especially in heat stress or when there's a lack of air movement. Cows will dissipate heat the best when they're standing versus laying down, chewing their cud in their stall. So that's another behavior that we can naturally see from a cow that says that the air movement is not great in the barn.
Then what about in terms of, you know, you mentioned in terms of the other freedoms, feed being a big one. Like what are some things, because it's not just about, you know, dropping feed in front of the cow and having it there.
No, exactly. I think there's lots of competition at the bunk, right? And then there's also the comfort of the cow. So if the cow is standing perpendicular to the actual feed manger, right, that means that usually the neck rail would be at the right height. If she's actually standing on an angle trying to reach that feed, right, that means that the neck rail is probably too low or too backwards. And you'll often see that too, not just with behavior, but actual rubbing or disrupted hair here on the back of her neck. So it's a little bit like if you were to cut your steak and take a bite every time, I kind of hit you on the hand every time you're trying to get a bite.
So it's all about looking at these behaviors. I'm getting the sense you walk in the barn, you're looking around. So you're looking for these small things like the actual activities that they're doing, where they're standing, how they're laying. How much time does it take you to do that when you come in and have a look at it?
So normally we'll either do group settings. If there's multiple producers around that want to gather at one barn, and the host barn will have us. So that's a little longer. Usually there'll be a full half day evaluation. We can also do a quick walkthrough in a farm. So just one producer and the master trainer. And that usually will take a couple of hours. The real goal here is not to train, to keep training us as master trainers, right, and getting experience. It's about training the dairy producer to actually be able to see those signals themselves in their own barn. Because it's not a one-day, one-stop-shop evaluation. That keeps going, right, from day to day. So if we can train the producer to also see those behaviors in their cows, that's the main goal as well.
And are you looking at other, like, physical signals in terms of cleanliness or things like that? Is that a signal as well? Is there an element of checking that part out?
So, some visual signals, right, would be swollen hocks, swollen knees, any displaced hair or ruffled hair, we call it. On the left side of the cow is her triangle, right, from the short rib and the hip bone. And how sunk in that is will tell me how much she's eaten in the last 24 hours, right? So that's called rumen fill. So those to me are all important. On top of that, you specified cleanliness. So cleanliness can tell me a lot of things. It's not, a one-stop shop. So is it overcrowding, where there's too much manures and the cows are splashing around? Is it bedding type? Is it management of that bedding, right, why the cows are dirty? Is it because the cows are sorting and, you know, the fluctuation of pH in her rumen is creating loose manure, right? So those are all different cleanliness is the one signal, but then we have to identify what the root cause is.
So then it's one of those where what I'm hearing from you is a lot about finding those things that make the cow appear uncomfortable, really about like cow comfort being the number one priority with a cow signals program. Is that what it is? Is it just about finding all those little things that seem uncomfortable for them and trying to fix them?
At the end of the day, those six freedoms represent like a cow was on pasture, right? But we have them in confinement. So at the end of the day is to give them the most of those freedoms. That's where they'll produce the most. So there's an actual ROI for the producer, their return on investment, right? So that's the main goal. The main goal is to get the healthiest cow who can produce the most milk for a best ROI for the producer. So for me, it's a three compartment kind of evaluation, not just cow comfort on its own. It's because of the other results, the health and the production.
Well, that's all very interesting. We'll continue talking about cow signals and cow behavior in a moment. But first, a message from our sponsor.
As Canadian dairy farmers, we follow ProAction, Dairy Farmers of Canada's National Quality Assurance Program with six modules. Modules like milk quality. That stands for high standards of milk production. Or food safety, producing milk that meets 42 requirements. And animal care, that means caring for every cow. ProAction sets standards of excellence. That's what's behind the Blue Cow logo. Dairy Farmers of Canada.
And we're back on the Canadian Podcow with Emily Mainville, Director of Dairy Nutrition and Technical Services for North America for Purina Cargill and a Cow Signals Master Trainer. Emily, let's talk about space for a bit. So how do we know if cows are a little bit cramped? How can the cows tell us if the barn's too full or if they're struggling to get enough like area?
Yeah, I like to evaluate this one actually from the alley, right? So not even walking in between the cows yet or touching the cows. So what I like to see is at the water bowl, right? Are they standing perpendicular? And that a cow can actually walk behind her, not disturbing her while she's drinking, right? So we want to evaluate the flow of that barn. Same thing, if we have cows at the manger, how many cows are being displaced by other dominant cows? And in her stall, is she standing straight in her stall or is she on an angle? Right? That tells me if the stall is the right dimension. Because if that neck rail at the beginning of the stall is too much back, right? Then she will go get that extra space to do her seesaw motion, right? Of laying down. She'll get on an angle to get that little bit extra space. And then she's going to lay down and she's going to roll to her side. And then guess what? Her back is almost touching the divider. And that's where you'll also see the manure piles. So a really great indicator for me for space is, are the manure piles under dividers or are the manure piles behind the middle of the stall? So all little things that you can train your eye to look at within 5 minutes of, as you're having a discussion, right, producer and consultant back and forth. And those are all things that right away can indicate me if the cows have enough space in the barn.
So then beyond space, what are some of those other signs of kind of discomfort with the stall itself? Because I think, as you mentioned, you know, if we can get her to lay down for that extra hour, 2 hours, 5 hours in a day, it's going to pay back fast.
Yeah, so we have a test. It's called the knee drop test. So when a cow lays down, she'll actually crouch down about a quarter of the way and then almost to the half. And then her muscles aren't actually strong enough to hold the rest of her. So she just goes down completely her full weight. That's just the way a cow actually lays down. So we, as humans as well, can do a knee drop test. And if you're not willing to just drop halfway to your knees and then drop yourself completely on that bedding and that mattress, then chances are those cows are getting swollen hocks, swollen knees, etc. So as a producer, that's always a fun test to do with them. If they're willing to knee drop on their own mattresses and bedding, then we're good. If they're not, then it's really a good way to convince them to add more bedding.
Fair enough, eh? So let's continue with cows' basic needs. So breathing is definitely one of them we spend a lot of time on as producers. Regarding the air in the barn, are there simple things that we can observe to see if the cows are breathing well, if the air flows good, if the circulation's good? Are there easy to spot signs to know if things are going great in the barn in terms of circulation?
Yeah, no, for sure. In free stalls, right, you will see that the pack or the herd will move in different areas. And if there's air-seeking behavior, we call, so the cows literally are reaching for air, then that's one behavior. Heat stress is usually where we evaluate the most air, right, behaviors. So tie stall and or free stall, right, is breathing between 10 and 30 breaths per minute. That's our average. If they fall above 40, then we know the cow is panting. We'll usually have saliva, right, drooling, etc., of the cows. So that's what we want to evaluate. The goal is 7 kilometers an hour. There's two reasons for that. That's where we're going to dissipate heat from the cow, even at a resting stage, so when she's laying down, not just standing. And then fly control, right? Most of the summer or spring to fall, there are flies in the barn. So we want that 8 kilometer an hour wind to be able to dissipate the flies. So we use a wind speed meter. We can buy those on Amazon, anywhere else, right? And we evaluate that. The other really fun way is just, yeah, if you have hair and your hair is going like this, it's proper 8 kilometers an hour. And if it doesn't, you need to increase fan speed.
Well, maybe I'll go with the Amazon. I don't think mine flows quite as well as maybe you two, but it is.
Sarah,
but
understands me.
Well, and it is one where I think, you know, in the summer, that heat stress does seem to be one of those that, with so many of these discomforts, really are highlighted even more so when it is hot. Water is the other one that obviously they're going to increase how much water they require, you know, kind of in the summertime. I'm just kind of curious that how do we know that they do have access to enough water, that the flow is there, that basically we make sure they're getting what they need when they do need that basic need of water?
I love water. Water is my number one nutrient. Right? I'm a nutritionist, but water is my number one nutrient. Why? Milk is made of 87% water, if I'm not mistaken. So the goal is, in a freestall, is 3.5 inches of water space per cow. So how you do that, and I challenge every producer to go out to their barn and do this when they listen to their this podcast, because they can all do that. Take a tape measurer, measure the length of your water bowls in your freestalls, right? So if you have three waterers, measure all three, and then divide the total inches by the number of cows in that pen. You need to have 3.5 inches of water space per cow, linear. If you don't, add water bowls. If I move to actual tie stall, very lucky, each cow has a waterer, right? But then it's about water flow. We need 15 liters per minute. That cow will not drink as much, stop drinking, if that flow is not coming to her in her water drinking bouts. And then for both barn setups, it's cleanliness, right? We always have that hay and TMR, et cetera, that gets clogged under that float for that individual cow waterer. We need that cleaned often, 3 to 5 times a week, to keep that flow going. And in a freestall setting, we need, you know, no algae, clean water. That's super important for our cows. So again, 2 to 3 times a week, please clean those waterers. And the last one is water is a nutrient. Get your consultants to analyze your water. You may, for example, have high sulfur, and that's what's causing the loose manure and the cleanliness and the somatic cell issue, right? So really knowing what is in your water is key.
I love it when there's an actionable step. We'll be out in the barn with the tape.
Should we let everybody do that now? Like, do we pause because this was the instruction while we're listening? Or just homework for after? I guess it can be your homework for after.
Everyone. Homework for after, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about your favorite one now, which is the eating. So when it comes to food, what behaviors should raise a red flag? Like, in terms of what should alert us that there might be a problem with portion size, for example, which sounds kind of funny because, I mean, there is a heap ton of food in front of these girls all the time.
Yeah. So I'll start and say that there are three rations. There's the ration the consultant makes, the ration the producer actually mixes, because, right, whether we have a bucket or a silo, sometimes it runs a couple kilos extra into the TMR or et cetera, et cetera. And then there's the ration that the cow actually eats, because she will sort, right, and obviously pick at all the candy in that TMR that she wants to eat. So based on those three rations, right, the important one to really understand is the one the cow actually eats. Those are the nutrients that actually go in the cow. So that's why cow portion is super important. When it comes to behavior and cow signals is, are we feeding enough new feedings? Two feeding minimums per day, especially in the summertime when it's hot. And then push-ups, right? Because you'll have those dominant cows in a freestall that will come first, and then the lesser dominant cows are going to come, the submissives are going to come after. They already have a sorted TMR. So that means that they have a different ration than the dominant cows, right? So you'll often find dominant cows with better body condition score than submissive cows, for example. And you'll probably end up with more potential lameness issues in your dominant cows because they sorted all the candy out and that created higher pH fluctuations in the gut. So that's where the number one rule or observation for me on the cows is the rumen fill, which is that triangle on the left side of the cow that I talked about earlier. Did all the cows in the barn eat enough in the last 24 hours? So that tells me if even the submissive cows had enough eating bouts and enough portions, like you said, Sarah.
Now, you mentioned through all of these stages, you know, if anyone is looking kind of for more information or to take part in this program, as I said, we did it a number of years ago. It was one where, you know, it's not like you can fix everything, but at least you know where your weaknesses are to be able to kind of, you know, manage that. But I guess I'm just kind of curious. You mentioned a little bit of it, but maybe you'll go into a little more detail just in terms of, like, if anybody wants to do cow signals, how does it work? How do we get you or other master trainers out to the barn?
Yeah, so you can go to the website, which is www.cowsignals.com. And on there, you will find online version training, really good books with visuals that the producer can use themselves. So that's the first step if you just want to learn about it. Then you can contact a master trainer in your region. So that's available on their website as well. But any Purina dealer, local Purina dealer to you, right, can in Eastern Canada, you can contact them and they'll send a master trainer like myself or the rest of my team for free to go do an evaluation. And in Western Canada, we have Cargill. That's how we go to market. And we have Cargill representatives that can go to your farm in the regions we are locally present and be able to do cow signals evaluations.
Well, that's pretty cool. So once we've identified some cow signals, the trainers come out, we've checked things out, where do we start to improve things? Because as you say, there's like a whole whack of things that you may need to have a look at. How do you prioritize and know where to start?
Yeah, so as we walk through the barn, we'll have identified with the producer so they can also identify, right, what the signals are. Then we'll prioritize them on ease of completion and ROI. So we're usually going to end up with a top three, right, in the next year and a half. The goal here is by no means building new barns. It's improving, retrofitting the ones we have, right? So we don't need a new barn with all the perfect standards to raise the cows we have, right, and milk the cows we have. It's just improving small tidbits, right, that can help. So identifying those top three and then giving a timeline and follow-up and accountability. At the end of the day, they're your farms, right? They're the producer's farm. Completely, fully your decision on what you do.
But I think it just is, you know, one of those things that I always love thinking of, you know, managing the farm as kind of that team approach, and to be able to, you know, bring folks like yourself or others, you know, on the team, just to be able to manage things like cow comfort being as critical as it is, you know, works really well. So is it just a case of the best thing that if people do have questions, cowsignals.com or their local Purina dealer or Cargill dealer, Emily?
Correct.
So, Emily, it sounds like you're pretty alert to producer signals as well. I think this sounds like a great program, and we'd love to thank you for joining us on the Canadian PodCow and sharing more about cow signals.
It was my true pleasure. Thank you.
Well, that was cool. Personally, I'm wondering if there was a calf signals version of this, because I feel like this is what I do with calves.
I
walk into the barn. I like look at everything.
I wondered if you were going to ask the calf question, because I know how
big it is.
Real
tempted.
But I think it is one of those where you talk about, like, just having another set of eyes look through. And I don't know whether it was, I know they talked a lot about cow signals. For some reason, there was one we did do here where she talked about, like, dropping to your knees, like in the stall, where you drop to your knees in the calf pen to determine if
just
it's still dry.
Just to check if they get wet.
That's the big one. So I don't know whether that was a cow signals one too, or whether that was a different training one, but we could make calf signals for you, Sarah.
I would love that. I would deeply love it.
What do you think out of your barn? Where do you think the thing is that you might, going out today now, look a little differently at?
Well, I'm just going to check the water bowls because I'm curious, but I'm pretty sure they're pretty long. So she gave us an actionable way of checking that, you know, but I learned a little bit about behavior in terms of how they're going to lay down. I'd never really thought about that. Like, just the actual weight of a cow dropping down. Obviously, her muscles can't support that at some point. That did not cross my mind prior to this discussion.
Well, no, and just like you see how hard they go down, but it isn't that necessarily thought.
Yeah,
that,
it wasn't.
Oh, yeah,
like,
that is why.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the water bowl one, I think I'm going to have to do the same thing, because the last time we did it, we were a tie stall barn, so it had a different impact than the 3.5 inches. I am very curious. I'm afraid to do it because I don't think it's right. I don't think we have quite enough.
We got to find out if our dealers are trained in cow signals.
Well, that's the thing, because it's going to be interesting. But it is one where I just think it's interesting to be able to just have a little different perspective on, you know, what your cows are seeing and doing.
For sure.
Well, that does conclude our Canadian PodCow episode. A big thank you to Emily Mainville from Cargill Purina for sharing a glimpse of her cow signals expertise. And you're right, Sarah. You could feel the passion for the dairy farm productivity and animal comfort when she talked, and can decipher a lot just by observing the cows.
Yeah, for sure. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it, leave us a comment, or write to us if you have any questions or ideas for future topics. The Canadian PodCow is on Facebook, Blue Sky, X, and YouTube.
Of course, thanks to our sponsor, Dairy Farmers of Canada, without whom this podcast would not be possible, and our production team, Bruce Sargent and Carl Bellanger, for all their work behind the scenes.
Until next time, happy holidays from the Canadian PodCow.